Hey, this is Matthew West.
Hey, this is Dustin from Sanctistrio.
Hey, this is David Crowder.
Hey, y'all, this is Brandon Heath. Happy Thanksgiving. You're listening to 91.3 WCSG.
91.3 WCSG, family-friendly and commercial-free. Welcome and thank you for listening to part two of the WCSG Thanksgiving Special Podcast. This episode features myself, Jeremy.
Amanda.
I'm Dodd.
And Zach.
So pull up a chair, grab a slice of pumpkin pie, and let's journey through moments of gratitude and togetherness. The Thanksgiving festivities are here. Well, we've made it to fall celebrating Thanksgiving with our upcoming meals. We look forward to things like green bean casserole, mashed potatoes, corn, and of course the turkey. But let's say you could jump in a time machine and you were able to establish a completely different meal at the first Thanksgiving. What would you put together?
Mine is completely selfish because it's something I don't get to eat very often. We're doing breakfast for Thanksgiving. Ooh. Because we do the morning show. Breakfast is usually like a granola bar or yogurt, but I want to have like actual big breakfast. Also benefit, all of us are watching our pennies because of inflation. So breakfast is usually pretty inexpensive. If you do French toast or you do eggs, it doesn't cost you a whole lot of money. If you have picky people, they can just have toast or cereal. You don't have to worry about a special meal for them.
The peanuts have toast at their Thanksgiving?
They did, yeah. And popcorn. And instead of shoving something into a bird, you get to eat something that came out of it. So.
Nice. Well, while Thanksgiving is certainly a time to give thanks, also seems to encompass a feeling of comfort. So I went with a buffet of comfort food. I'm thinking a variety of soups and chilies, giant loaves of bread, bread bowls, cheese and crackers.
Sweatpants.
Platters of grilled cheese, sandwiches. And one of the things I found when I was working on this is actually there is a division on what men and women consider to be comfort foods. Men typically steer towards the warmer foods like soups and chilies, but women tend to go towards chocolate and ice cream.
So, I mean, I can't disagree with that.
Whoever is hosting the Thanksgiving can decide if it's going to go one way or the other.
Well, if you're going to have your breads, you'll still have a chance to have your cornucopia.
Yes.
That's true, right? Too.
And if you fall into the ice cream category, that pumpkin pie a la mode, apple pie a la mode, that all still works.
That's
too.
That's great.
And in Michigan, it always works out with our big holidays that usually the weather is cold, so you can use outside as a refrigerator. So that's a benefit as well.
Yes.
And with all the carbs, you still get your food coma.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Okay, so Thanksgiving is the quintessential American holiday, so I figured why not go with the quintessential American meal, and to me, that's barbecue. So we're going to go Texas style on this one. I used to live in Texas for a while, fell in love with that style barbecue, just brisket with a nice dry rub, salt and pepper only. We'll do some hot guts, which is a spicy pork sausage, sides of coleslaw, creamed corn, baked beans. You got to have the loaf of Wonder Bread with the raw onions and the dill pickles, and of course, Big Red. Have you guys ever had Big Red?
It's soda, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Amazing. I was thinking bubblegum.
Oh, no. It's an amazing cream soda, and it's all the barbecue places down in Texas have Big Red.
You kind of had me until the what gut? What was that?
Hot guts. It's a spicy sausage. They call it hot guts.
That's what happens after you eat your
meal. That is also true.
A lot of Tums on the side, too.
Oh, man. I actually really like the Thanksgiving meal as it is, but since we've been hosting as the adults in our family, I've realized just the sheer amount of work that's involved in the whole production of putting that meal together for families. So granted, it's going to be the case whenever you're feeding the multitudes. You can just ask the disciples about that. It does seem, though, that the most stress, I think, is centered around the main attraction, which is the turkey.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be done in time? Is it going to be overdone? Is it going to be dry? And all of that. So I think maybe replacing the turkey itself with more of the side dishes that we all love. I would keep the green bean casserole, the stuffing, and the potatoes, because you don't just have one or the other. You have both.
Right.
That requires that you do have some type of gravy that you can put on it as well.
Yep.
Instead, though, of the turkey, I'd swap it, like I said, more sides like pizza rolls, Swedish meatballs or barbecue meatballs, or maybe some party franks for good measure. Things like that that are just less stressful. Reduce the stress, reduce the mess, especially the mess with the turkey of having to clean it all off the bone, you know, for the leftovers and all that. So that's the one major thing I would change.
Nobody wants to do that until, at least at our Thanksgivings, we all kind of look at it And it's like, that thing is going to give people salmonella if it doesn't get cleaned up soon. And it's just always a huge production.
Does it become a group effort at that point? No, let's just get this done.
Always my dad. Always my dad.
And let's be honest, you can't really go dry with pizza rolls and barbecue and that kind of stuff. So yeah, good choice.
Well, the holidays are never short on travel, whether it's planes, trains, or automobiles. We travel to see family, we travel back home, and sometimes we travel to get away from it all. Pick one of the modes of transportation and share a story about a memorable trip you've taken in one, a plane, a train, or an automobile.
Compared to some people, I think I've gotten by in my life rather unscathed when it comes to traveling mishaps. I mean, we do a lot of our traveling in the car, the van. We've had some breakdowns when we're traveling, especially long distances. At least one traffic jam that lasted so long on a major highway, we got the lawn chairs out and we're just sitting around, and it was like a big, big accident. And we just spent that time saying, wow, Lord, thank you for protecting, you know, thinking of the people. You hear the sirens, but you know you're just going to be there a while. So we've done that too. One of the first things, though, that popped into my mind was, I think this was the first time I ever flew on a plane, and that was headed to our honeymoon. I had never, as a kid, flown on a plane before, so Tammy and I were headed to Cancun. The adventure started, though, a couple hours before our wedding when my mom was getting ready. She put her back out in the shower. And the pain was so bad that my own mom wasn't able to make it to my own wedding. So afterwards, we stayed in our wedding clothes. My brother drove us up north. My mom was staying at my grandma's. She could see us in the tux and the dress and all that. We could spend some time with her. But by the time we left there, we canceled any reservations we had. We spent a couple of hours at my dad, grabbed our luggage at my dad's house, grabbed our luggage, and then went to Detroit to fly direct to Cancun. So by that time, out of sheer exhaustion, never having flown before, I wondered at first, will I be able to sleep on a plane? Okay, I can sleep anywhere, as it turns out. So I'm on the aisle seat. This is one of those big planes, so you've got at least three aisles, you know, so, or two aisles, you know, three sections. I'm on the side sleeping the whole time. So that part of it wasn't memorable for me. What was memorable was Tammy's like, yeah, this guy next to me who's been to Cancun like 10 times talked the whole way. So I'm zonked. And if I'd have been a better groom, a better husband, I would have noticed and probably changed places and all of that. But that was our eventful first time flying. And I'm going to just try from here on out and forevermore to be a little more perceptive and maybe take one for the team.
Can confirm, though, we have traveled for work sometimes, and if you can't find Dodd, he's sleeping on the floor of the airport.
Yes, yes.
Like, it doesn't bother you at all.
No, what you do, you put your phone in your pocket, you use your backpack with a laptop in it as your pillow, so if someone comes up to steal your things, you would just naturally wake up.
Yeah.
But you can put your back up against and almost under the chairs. That's always a bonus, but airplane or airport floors are very clean.
They are. Okay, so my story involves a plane, and this doesn't have anything to do with holiday travel. It has to do with mission trip travel. When I was a freshman in college, had a chance to go to Jamaica and help some churches there for a mission trip. Everything went really, really well. Great trip. On the way home, though, getting ready to land in Grand Rapids, the flight attendants started getting kind of like busy, and usually when that happens, it means something is going on. We learned not too much later that the landing gear on the plane was not working. So they made an announcement on the plane. Okay, you're going to have to do that thing that we told you about in the safety briefing that none of you were paying attention to, and do the thing where you put your hands and your head on the seat in front of you, because we're going to land this plane, but we don't know if the landing gear is actually going to come out. So this was back in the day when your friends and family could meet you at the gates, you know, before 9/11 and all that stuff happened. And so since it was a college trip and the son of the college president was on this trip, the college president and my parents and all the other parents are standing at the gate. They had heard that this was going on because they noticed all these emergency vehicles on the runway. They had a spotlight that was showing up at the plane to see if the landing gear was actually going to come down. And so they're all in a circle praying like, oh my word, our children are going to be in big trouble. And thank God, everything worked out fine. The landing gear ended up coming down and we all get off the plane just like, okay, thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe. And all of our parents are there just like, completely just wrecked because they were just thinking they were going to welcome their kids home from this missions trip, and it ended up being so much more of an ordeal. But that is always my one travel story that, you know, not many people get that. You better put your head on the seat because it's going to be a rough and rowdy landing.
So. Yeah, and put yourself in their position on the ground and seeing all of that. Were you guys still wearing your matching missions trip t-shirts at that time?
I can't remember. Probably. You know, we had just come off, you know, a mission trip, like just the highest of highs, and then it just ended in such a dramatic way. But thankfully, everything was fine.
A lot of gratitude at the end, I bet.
Yes, 100%.
All right, well, mine actually features two because there's like a beginning and an end. So it starts with an automobile, and then it goes on to a plane, and then another automobile. But basically, this goes back to when I was in high school. I got my license. I can finally drive by myself. And we were, as a family unit, for the very first time, my mom had just gotten remarried, heading down to Florida to visit my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And the day before, for whatever reason, my stepbrother and I, in a form of trying to bond and get to know each other a little more, decided to drive from Zeeland to Grand Rapids to Best Buy. Back then, that was the closest Best Buy. So we're trucking down 28th Street, nice and slow. This is December time frame. And he redirects my attention after we leave one of the lights by 131 to something off in the distance. And I'm not paying attention. And I rear end the car in front of me. So we pull off and we do the whole swapping of information. I'm all shook up. This is my first car accident I've ever had. And we get back in the car and we're traveling back down to 28th Street. We're not going to let this crash get in the way. We're going to get to Best Buy.
What did you need at Best Buy?
I don't even remember. Computer parts, I think, is what it was. Ooh. Or maybe a video game. And as we're going, I realized that the temperature gauge in the car is creeping and creeping and creeping, because what had happened is when I rear-ended the car, there was a screw that punctured the radiator and all the fluid had leaked out, and my car is just getting ready to overheat. So we're trying to hustle, and instead of just pulling over somewhere else, we are just laser focused on our destination. So we get to Best Buy and this thing is just getting ready to smoke. And so I just whip into a parking spot, hit one of the cars in the parking lot, back out, find another parking spot where I can fit. But while I had done that, some lady had witnessed this, had gone in and reported me to the Best Buy security. As she's having this conversation, I walk in to do the same thing. And then we have to call my parents, and then they have to now drive.
We've had two car accidents.
From Zeeland to Grand Rapids to come get us. The shorter end of that story is on the way back, we basically have to stop every 15 minutes to fill the radiator with water to keep the car cool. So that was the day before we leave. We go on this trip to Florida, and we do have one shaky plane ride where we end up like landing on one wheel first on the left side, then the other one. And there was so much turbulence that my stepbrother had gotten off the plane, and we didn't get a chance to go through one of the tunnels. You actually got off on the stairs and walked along the tarmac that's all covered in gasoline and oil, and he actually leaned down and kissed it and had like greasy lips because the plane ride was so frightening. So that was about the extent of that. But the good news of this whole entire thing was we had a nice trip in Florida, came back home, and we have an answering machine back then. And there was a message from the guy I had rear-ended, and he said, I took the car in, we had it looked at, there was no damage, I hope you have a good Christmas. So that's my travel story.
And now you and your stepbrother have like a forever bonding memory.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Best Buy seems so far away from Zeeland to Grand Rapids.
At that age. It does. It? Yeah.
And we didn't have camera phones, right? So you probably weren't able to capture his face.
There were no camera phones. There were no, I didn't have a cell phone back then. We had to use the phone at Best Buy to call my parents. So yeah, there were a lot of things with that.
Wow.
Now, every time I drive that stretch of road, I think about that car accident every time.
So mine doesn't involve any mishaps. I've not had any scary travel stories. So this is just a really cool trip that I took. You know, when we see planes, trains, automobiles, trains is probably the one that we have the least experience with these days. So when I graduated high school, my parents told me we can take a trip anywhere in the world as your graduation gift. And I really wanted to go to Alaska. So we ended up, we actually took a cruise from Vancouver up to Anchorage, but then the last half of the trip was a train ride from Anchorage through the interior of Alaska up to Denali and Mount McKinley and all that, and over to Fairbanks. And It was like a 3-day train ride. It was one of those trains where the ceiling was glass and you had a 360 view of everything around you. Mm. We had to stop at one point to let a family of moose walk over the tracks. We saw a lot of bears. One night, the skies were perfectly clear. We saw the Northern Lights sitting on this train walking up to Denali. And also, I don't know if you've ever taken a long train ride, the fanciest meals you'll ever eat. So it was a very, very fun trip. To this day, the most beautiful things I've ever seen were on that train ride through Alaska.
I've only had inner city train rides. They don't provide any meals. At least none that I would be interested in.
Yeah, this was like that surf sounds and beautiful turf. Though. I think it was like $200 a plate for the food.
Wow.
It was so cool. It was the best part of the trip by far.
I've gone to places before where it's like, you know, that was fun, but I wouldn't need to go there again. This sounds like one of those places you're like, oh, in a heartbeat, I'd be back.
I would love to do that again. It was amazing.
Thanks for sharing. Cool.
All right. So Thanksgiving dinner is done. Dishes are cleaned. No unmonumental task in that one. Dessert is on the way. But first, your family is hosting a Thanksgiving talent show. What talent will you be showcasing for your family?
I mean, we do this. This is not like a hypothetical.
Oh, you really do.
My sisters and I all took dance lessons when we were little girls. We weren't into sports. We were into dance. And so any opportunity we have to do any sort of choreography or a put together dance number with a song, like, we're going to take it. And there are so many home VHS tapes of our many, many, many music videos we have done. One that all of us, if you bring up this Cher song, Turn Back Time, like, we all still have it. So that's what we would be doing.
You have access to a VHS player,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Is this tap, jazz, ballet? My sister did all those.
We did those, like, that was our, in the studio. But when we're at home, it was just finding whatever costumes we had. No shoes. We couldn't wear tap shoes on the, linoleum or the wood floor. So usually socks. But yeah, that would be ours.
A sight to behold.
And now it gives me motivation to do that.
So we already kind of do this too. Every family get together we've had for my family my entire life, it always ends with us watching Jeopardy together. My family loves trivia, and like every single time we get together, Jeopardy, trivia, and we compete against each other while we're watching Jeopardy. So I figure, why not do it live? I don't know if you've ever heard of this website, Sporkle. It's a website where there's like timed trivia. It'll like give you 15 minutes and you have to type out all the countries of the world. My brother and I routinely race against each other on a Friday night because we're lame and super dorky.
All the countries of the world?
Yeah, so like,
you'd have me at two.
We'd have a race of countries of the world, the capitals of the world, the biggest cities, whoever's won the World Series. Like, my family already kind of competes in trivia, and I actually got this idea because Kathy, who works here with us, I sit next to her, and we routinely in the afternoon will race on Sporkle for countries of the world and flags of the world and all that nerdy stuff.
Interesting. I've heard of Sporkle as like one of the resources for like trivia nights. I didn't realize they do some of that stuff too.
Do you get to determine the categories you're racing in, or it just tells you?
It's they got everything. They've got sports, geography, history.
Do they have like hosts on Food Network?
I'm sure there's so much on there.
Huh. Sounds fun. Yeah.
Well, obviously everyone would be treated to a trombone concerto, right? Right. What in the world could pair better with that pumpkin pie that we were talking about earlier than a soothing slide trombone? And this reminds me of a time my brother and I, so we were in high school, we were driving, this was a little road trip. We drove from the other side of the state to Kalamazoo for a big family reunion on my mom's side of the family. My grandma Speckman begged us to bring our horns. Okay, so Dan and I are twins. He was first chair trumpet. I was first chair trombone. Grandma wanted us to play in front of about 100 people, many of whom we'd never met before in a family reunion situation. Maybe we'd seen them once in our lives. It wasn't like all the grandkids were doing this. She just wanted Danny and Dodd to play their horns. I don't know if it was before dinner or something like that. We didn't want to disappoint Grandma. And we pulled out a duet that we'd done like at solo and ensemble or something like that and played. And I was going to say that we were nerds, but I know Amanda would jump on that and say, we're nerds. What do you mean we're nerds? You guys are nerds. One of the side benefits, though, of having our brass instruments on that trip and in this car that we shared in high school, the old Mustang 2, our air conditioner was out. Our muffler was also out, and this was in the summer, so we had the windows down. Because the muffler and the wind was so loud, we couldn't hear the radio. We just thought, hey, whoever's not driving could play their horn, their trumpet or trombone going down the highway, merely just to see the looks on the people's faces as we were passing by them. So it would definitely be some type of little brass concert before we enjoy our Thanksgiving dessert.
Wow. I don't have any other response to that.
That's just wow.
Just wow, yeah. I don't have a whole lot of talent to offer, but I reflected upon some of the things I think about during Thanksgiving, and one of my favorite movies to watch is Dan in Real Life, and they actually, in the movie, do a whole family talent show, and Steve Carell is in the movie, and his character ends up playing guitar, which I know how to play mm-hmm. guitar and sing, so I feel like I would probably default to that, but the thing is, I don't really know a whole lot of holiday songs, so it's either going to be one of two categories. It's either going to be a praise and worship song, mm-hmm. since I've helped out at church, mm-hmm. or it's going to be alternative rock folk inspired songs from my past when I first picked up the guitar. So it's one or the other. That's all you get.
It's Dave Matthews Band on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
For whatever reason, Thanksgiving doesn't have a well-defined icon for its holiday. Christmas is Santa Claus. Easter is the Easter Bunny. Valentine's Day has Cupids. So if you could create a character for the Thanksgiving holiday, what would it be and why?
All right. I went with an owl. Because I like owls. I think they are wise and they are cool. He is Harvey the Harvest Owl.
Oh.
And just put together a little story as to the why this guy would be selected. So just picture yourself in a serene woodland nestled between rolling hills and golden fields. There's a wise, gentle owl named Harvey. He was born during the harvest season and had a special connection with the changing of the seasons and a deep sense of gratitude that warmed the hearts of all that knew him. Each fall, he'd perch on a branch overlooking the farmers, tirelessly gathering their crops, reminding them with a soft hoot that the bountiful harvest was a gift and a reward for their hard work. Harvey's message of thankfulness and the beauty of the changing seasons became a beloved symbol, reminding everyone to cherish life's different cycles. So year after year, as autumn arrived, Harvey the Harvest Owl would take to the skies, spreading his wings and casting a watchful eye over the land, and his legacy of gratitude lived on in the hearts of all that knew him, a timeless reminder that thankfulness was the key to embracing life's changes and the changing seasons with grace and appreciation.
That's really sweet. Yes. I have two questions. Yep. Yes. Number one,
yes.
When are you turning it into a children's book? Because that's very sweet. And there aren't enough like Thanksgiving themed things for kids, I don't think.
Sure.
And number two, is this owl related to the one they found in the Rockefeller Center tree a couple years ago?
I mean, it could be. I had totally forgot about that one. That one's name is Rocky,
yeah.
I think, right? It yep. came with the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, he deserves a book too.
I think he has one.
I totally didn't see the owl thing coming. So yeah. Great story. I do know that you're quite an artist, though. So would you show me your paper with your story? Do you have a picture of Harvey the Harvest Owl?
Is that a picture.
Something that you could come up with?
I probably could.
It would look great in the children's book,
right?
Too. That yes. would be your title page.
There you go.
Okay, so one of the examples we gave was Santa, who's based on a real person. There was St. Nicholas back in however many hundred years ago. So my characters are based on some real people. So think about Thanksgiving Day. There's the meal, and everyone shares what they're thankful for. But then after the meal, there's football.
Yes.
And every year, that football involves the Detroit Lions. So put a pin in that.
Not Detroit Lions, the Detroit Lions.
So there's also a lot of famous duos like Han Solo and Chewie, Batman and Robin, Mario and Luigi. So we're going to do a Thanksgiving duo from the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell and Barry Sanders.
Ooh, look out.
So look at that duo. One tall, one short, one really strong, one really fast. Barry Sanders won the turducken one year from John Madden on the Thanksgiving football. So he can be in charge of delivering the Thanksgiving meal to you. And Dan Campbell, big and strong, and he loves biting off kneecaps. So he will defend Barry Sanders on the way, delivering the Thanksgiving food to everybody.
Done. That's great. I don't think we need to go any further.
No, that's beautiful. Really good. Love it.
Okay, I think the perfect Thanksgiving icon or mascot would be my grandma. And I did my grandma in air quotes because I don't just mean my grandma, but for you, you know, think of your grandma, visions of maybe all of the best qualities of your grandma's rolled in to one. I do think we spent more Thanksgivings with my dad's side of the family than my mom's. Christmas was always with the other side of the family. So I always picture my grandma Morris, and her birthday was often on Thanksgiving Day. So she's got her apron. She's from the apron generation. She's cooking, letting us help when we can, joyfully making sure that everything looks and tastes great. And finished at the same time.
Yes.
Very important.
Time management,
and especially difficult in timing the turkey. She was very patient in all of this. She was very loving. She was a hardworking person, but she's also the grandma who would take breaks to sit down with us at the piano bench or something like that, or give a little help if we're playing Boggle, you know. So she was very involved in that as well. So when I think of Grandma Morris, amazing person, someone that I'm very thankful for, especially her spiritual legacy with her family. And to me, she's the perfect picture of Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's sweet. Mine is also grandmotherly. Every year we connect with, or we try to, the Butterball Turkey Hotline. Mm-hmm. And I thought they really need like a mascot to, you know, like, here's the person who's going to help give you all your advice. I wasn't able to think through this on my own. So I went to ChatGPT and I said, please help me come out with a grandmotherly mascot for the Butterball Turkey Talk nice. Line. And so here's what they came up with. And I think it's pretty cool. They named her Granny Butterball. She is warm. She is welcoming and has all the nurturing qualities of a grandmother. She's a friendly elderly woman with a kind face and a gentle demeanor. She wears glasses perched on the tip of her nose, symbolizing her expertise in all things turkey related. Around her waist, she wears a colorful vintage style apron with pockets that are filled with kitchen utensils like a meat thermometer and a basting brush. She also carries a wood rolling pin, which she calls her turkey taming wand. Wow. I don't know if she's beating the turkey with the rolling pin.
You are tamed and cooked.
She has a recipe book filled with time-tested turkey cooking tips and tricks passed down through generations. She's patient, she's caring, she's knowledgeable. She has a sense of comfort and reassurance, making anyone who contacts the Butterball Turkey Talk line feel like they're getting advice from their own beloved grandmother. She's there to help anyone from novice cooks to experienced chefs navigate the challenges of preparing a delicious Thanksgiving turkey. Whether it's advice on thawing, roasting, or carving, Granny Butterball is the go-to source for turkey-related wisdom and reassurance.
And which granny wouldn't just want that name?
Right? I mean, that's what you feel like after you've eaten the Thanksgiving meal.
Well, and everybody would be very welcoming to a grandma,
yeah.
Regardless. I love that.
Yeah, I think they nailed it.
They did nail it. Good job, ChatGPT.
Well, as we wrap up this podcast special about Thanksgiving, we want to thank you for spending time with us. And from all of us at 91.3 WCSG, we hope you have a great holiday season. Family.